go to the Word of God, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, as we're getting close to an end of our series entitled Battle Ready, as we realize that we're in a fight every day. But thank God we got some tools, and we don't have to be defeated. Ephesians chapter 6. One verse, verse 17, Ephesians 6, verse 17. When you have it, say amen. If you're still trying to get it, just say, hold on, Reverend, hold on. I got you. Or as the late mother, Juanita Thomas, used to say, Reverend. Ephesians 6. To all of our elders and ministers, our deacons, our mothers, First Lady, to all of God's people, it's a blessing to be alive and in the land of the living. New Living Translation puts it this way, and it says, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Put on the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Father, as we come in this moment to your word, as we come to the table to dine, God, we thank you that there's always a word, Father, for us. And the word for us to be able to take heed to understand and to apply to our lives, oh God. Though, as we already know, that we are in a constant battle all the time. But thank God we don't have to be defeated. We don't have to win. We don't have to be punked. We don't have to be bamboozled. But we got weapons to be able to defeat the enemy. I pray now that as we come into your word this morning, Father God, that our hearts are open, our eyes are open, our ears are open, Father God, that we are ready, our spirits are receptive to what you have to say, God, and that our feet are ready to obey. And it's in the strong name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people said, as you're taking your seat, just find somebody around you. Just say good morning. Give them a compliment. Give them a tip. Amen. Let them know that they got the best seat in the house sitting next to you. Hallelujah. 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 Battle ready. Recently, I went on a business visit with my high school students for Jackson CEO, and we went to a plant in the coin. And while we were there, they gave me some information of certain things that we needed to wear before we showed up, that we had to make sure that we had on closed-toe shoes. And once we got there, they gave us earplugs. They gave us hats to be able to wear. And I'm thinking to myself, why? And I asked the gentleman, I said, well, why do we need hats? We're not going to be out there doing any type of work and, you know, anything of that nature. He said, it's just a safety protocol because there's always things going around. And the last thing that we need is for someone to get hit by something that is falling from the ceiling. So we have to make sure that your heads are protected and that your heads are covered. Just in case something was to be able to drop, it would drop and it would hit the top of the hat. And the hat, and because you have on the hat, it won't be able to mess with anything in your mind. It won't be able to mess up your head. It won't be able to hurt you in any way because you have the hat on as a covering. As we're almost at the end of this series entitled Battle Ready, everything that we have looked at, from the belt of truth, from the breastplate of righteousness, from the shield of faith, everything that we have seen up to now, the Apostle Paul has been using this as a almost a dress room to get us ready for the fight that we have against the enemy. Because again, we have to recognize and know that even though we may not be able to see him physically doing certain things, we feel it. We feel it. We feel it. We feel it. We know that there are some things that are going on. We know that you're trying to meddle. We know that you're trying to mess. We know that you're trying to stir up stuff. We know that you're trying to get stuff going. So because we are aware that Paul says, I need you to be dressed properly so that as you go out into the world, as you go out into life, that you are ready and equipped to be able to battle against the enemy, not with tools that you have, not with being petty on social media, not with using your words and trying to curse somebody out, not by using your words trying to stop somebody. He says, no, I have weapons. I have weapons for you to be able to use so that you can be able to win the fight against the enemy. So we're almost at the end of this series. Paul says, I want you to put on the helmet of salvation. By the soldier putting on the helmet of salvation, this is almost the completion of the outfit. This is almost the completion of them being ready to be able to go out into the field to be able to fight. Paul says, I want to make sure that you be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I want you to put on God's armor so that you can be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the enemies. He said, I need you to put on, I need you to put on, I need you to put on, I need you to put on the belt of truth. I need you to put on the breastplate of righteousness. I need you to have the shoes with the preparation of peace. I need you, I need you, I need you to do all of these things so that you are ready, so that you are ready. When Roman soldiers, when they were putting on their outfit, it's the first tool they would put on was the belt of truth, because the belt was to be able to hold all of the different tools that they were going to use to be able to fight against the enemy. But it was also important that they put on the belt of truth, because some of the armor that the soldier would have on, it would be so heavy that it would cause them to sometimes lean forward or to walk as if it was really, really, really heavy. But the belt was something that would provide a sense of stress relief. Because once the belt was on and all the other tools were on, the belt was able to give a sigh of relief to be able to help the soldier get his back up straight, right. To be able to walk out and fight the enemy. Yeah. Just now that you got that on, I want you to put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is what shields the head while safeguarding the thoughts. I want you to hear what I just said. The helmet of salvation, its purpose there is to be able to shield the head while safeguarding the thoughts. Because here it is, saints of God, the primary arena where spiritual battles unfold is when the battlefield of the mind. The primary place, the primary location, the main spot that the enemy wants to be able to come in and stir up trouble and stir up mess and to get us all off of our rocker so that he can be able to come in and have a foothold is within the battlefield of our minds. If he can be able to capture our thoughts, if he can be able to capture our mind, and to have us, Tasia, worried and anxious. If he can be able to capture our minds and capture our heads and to have us in the moment of depression. If he can be able to capture our minds and capture our heads and have us in the moment where we are down in our faith in God and trusted in God. If he can have us to come, if he can come into our minds and cause us to be able to question the truth of God's word. And be like Adam and Eve in the garden. Did you really mean what you said? Is this really what you want me to do? If he really wants to come in, Brother Trotter, and really stir up some trouble, he may not deal with our health. He may not deal with relationships. He may not deal with money, but he will try to unfold some stuff within our minds. Because if he can get into our minds and get us to start thinking a certain way, if he can get and creep into our emotions and get us to start feeling a type of way, then he can be able to come in there and be able to stir up all types of mess in our life. Because sometimes, saints of God, I hope I get some help when I say this right here. Sometimes the fight that we have, it's not against you, it's not against you, it's not against you. Sometimes the biggest fight and the biggest war that we are striving to win is the war with within our minds. man, if he can get you to think a certain way, if he can get you to feel a certain way, if he can cause you to think and to believe that you are lower than what you really are, if he can cause you to think and believe that because mama and daddy marriage ended in divorce, and I know there's no purpose of me ever looking for love because it's the same way it's going to end for me. If he can ever get into our emotions and cause us to think or to believe, oh man, I know I got a history, because sometimes we say certain things and we have to be mindful, because the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue, and we're going around saying certain things, we're going around saying certain things, we're going around claiming certain things, we're going around and we're holding on to certain things, and we're allowing these things, coach, to become our identity. If he can cause us to think, oh, well, you know, grandma died from breast cancer. You know, my mom died from breast cancer. You know, well, I just know that, but I just know sooner or later that's what I'm going to end up getting. I've come to the resolve. No. That is of the enemy. Just because what has happened to others before you does not mean that that needs to be your thing. But the enemy will use it as a foothold to be able to come in. So, saints of God, it's important that we wear the helmet of salvation. Now, you have to understand, Pastor Swims, what in the world does a helmet have to do with salvation? What in the world does salvation have to do with the helmet? How do the two come in hand? Because, listen, when we are saved by Jesus Christ, it is not just a one-time thing to be able to usher us into a relationship with Jesus Christ and to usher us into heaven once our eyes close on this end. No. This is a daily thing where the Holy Spirit is sanctifying us and getting us ready so that when we get to glory, we'll be glorified in his presence. But while we're here on earth, it is a daily thing where he's having to sanctify my mind so that I'm not allowing the things that are going on around me and in me to get so enthroned in my mind that I believe that this is what it is. The helmet of salvation is there to shield the head while safeguarding the thoughts within the pastor. How in the world am I able to safeguard my thoughts? Why do I need to put on the helmet of salvation? How do I safeguard my thoughts? It is by renewing my mind in the word of God. Oh, man. I know it sounds repetitive, and I have been repetitive on purpose, but if we want our minds to be renewed, if we want our minds to be able to stay focused on what God has for us, if we want our minds to stay true to the truth of God's word, we have to renew our minds daily and all the time, the truth of God's word and what God has said in his word. I don't care if you have to put some scriptures up on a post-it note and put them all around you so that wherever you are reminding yourself and renewing your mind of what God has already said in his word to me. Because if I don't safeguard my mind against the things of this world, if I don't safeguard my mind, if I don't take control of my mind and the thoughts that I am thinking, the enemy will come in and sprinkle a little something there. And put a little something here. And then put a lot right here. Anxiety is something that you don't have to carry as a part of your identity. Worry is not something that you have to make a part. Worry is not something that you have to make a room for in your house and give it its own bathroom and its own closet. No, anxiety and worry are not things that we have to take on as our identity, but we can be able to let identity, no. Let this mind be in Christ. Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells me to cast all of my cares upon him, for he cares for me, that I am able to renew my mind when I take the truth of God's word and apply it and use it so that I can be able to have victory in my mind. Victory over depression. Victory over anxiety. Victory over low self-esteem. Victory over overthinking. Victory over thinking little of myself. Victory in all the areas of my mind. But it won't happen unless I am renewing my mind in the word of God. Football players, y'all know how much I love sports. They wear helmets. And the helmets are so important for them to be able to wear. Because as they're out there on the field, the helmets are designed in such a way that it is capable of taking away the impact of when they're getting hit by a player and they fall down to the ground. It's there to protect them when their heads hit the ground and they have been knocked out by the opponent. The helmet of salvation is so important for us saints of God because the enemy is coming looking to see how he can trip us, looking to see how he can take us down. And because I have my helmet of salvation down, I may fall, but the damage that the enemy tried to do, it won't be done because I have the helmet of salvation that was protecting and safeguarding my mind just in case I get knocked down. But the helmet, just like any of all the other armor of God, the helmet is only useful if we put it on. The helmet is only going to work if we put it on. So what are you saying, Pastor? How do I apply this, Pastor? Here it is. Here's the first application of how I can be able to apply the helmet of salvation to my life, that I surrender every thought that contradicts Scripture. Man, I surrender and I allow myself, I surrender my thoughts, I surrender my mind against every thought that comes against Scripture, that I don't have to accept what may be said, I don't have to accept what may be done, I don't have to accept what always has been, but no, I'm not going to allow my thoughts to be overwhelmed and consumed by things that goes against the truth of God's word and what God has said in his word. If the doctor gives me a bad diagnosis, no, I'm going to claim and say that I am healed in Jesus' name because of what the scripture says. And on top of that, hold on real quick before you shout, on top of that, I'm going to take the advice of the doctors and do what the doctors are telling me that I need to do. So it's going to be a dual thing. I'm going to work in the natural and I'm also going to work in the spiritual and do my spiritual duty along with my human responsibility. But I'm not going to allow my mind to be overwhelmed with things that's not true to what God has said about me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he says this. Here's what he says. Here's what the Apostle Paul says, starting in verse 6. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. What, think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Paul says, if I'm going to surrender every thought that contradicts Scripture, it's got to be replaced with something else. He says, if I'm going to surrender every thought, if I'm going to surrender my anxiety and my worry and my low self-esteem, I have to replace it with something that is true. I have to replace it with something that is right. I have to replace it with something that is pure. And here it is, saints of God, no one can surrender your thoughts but you. No one can surrender my thoughts for me. No one can do that for you. That's why Paul says in the very beginning, I need you to put on the armor of God. This is not a suggestion, but it is a word of wisdom that you should do so that you can be able to win the battle against the enemy. We have to surrender our thoughts, mine, to him. And we block out everything that contradicts the scriptures and what God has already said about me. Here's the second thing. If I'm going to put on the helmet of salvation, I apply it by recalling the Lord's attributes and his consistent track record that has been evident in my own life. Oh, God, let's have church real quick. I got to recall the Lord's attributes. I have to recall his character. I have to remind myself. I have to remind myself of the faithfulness of God. I don't know about anybody else, but every now and then I have a few human moments where I get overwhelmed in my thoughts. I get overwhelmed in my mind. And every now and then I have to step back for a second and start reminding myself how good and how faithful God has been to me. I have to, and listen, I don't have to go back too far, but sometimes it's real good and real wise to go all the way back from the journey and just catch up every now and then and go back and remind yourself how faithful God has been to you from your birth, how faithful God was to you as a toddler, how faithful God was to you as an adolescent, as faithful as God was to you as a teenager, as faithful as God was to you in your 20s, how faithful God has been to you in your 30s, how faithful God has been to you all the way up to where you are right now. Does that mean that you have not had any trials or tribulations? Does it mean that you have not had any troubles? Does it mean that I have not gone through anything? Absolutely not. It just lets me know that through everything that I have gone through everything that I have seen, I made it out on the other side of it, and I can look back and tell God, thank you for what you did then and how you made a way and how you opened up a door. And it helps me to be able to recognize the same God that moved back then is the same God that can move right now. We have to be so careful, saints of God, that we don't get caught up in whining and complaining. I tell you this, I know it may not sound real passionately, but after a certain time frame, I can't take too much complaining and too much whining. Because listen, I know, and I may not know exactly what you're going through or what has happened, but I can tell somebody as a witness, I know that through all the trouble that you may have experienced, there have been some moments where God has came in. There have been some moments where El Shaddai has showed up. There have been some moments where God has made a way out of no way. And sometimes we have to command ourselves and make ourselves praise God. Every now and then you have to give him the sacrifice of praise. I could whine. I could complain. I could be angry. I could be mad. In fact, I have a right to be mad. I have a right to be angry. But in the midst of my anger, God has yet been too good. Oh, he's been too good to me that I can't sit here and just whine. The more I begin to thank him, the more I begin to think about it, the more I begin to thank him, and the more I begin to thank him, it makes the enemy upset, because what he wanted to use to be able to get me down and put me under pressure, God turned that thing around, and I'm using it as a testimony to testify of the goodness of God. When is the last time you recall the character of God? When was the last time you went down memory lane and just started thinking? I used to wonder sometimes, my father would be in the kitchen and daddy would be in the kitchen cooking, and he'll be humming a song, and then all of a sudden tears would start coming down his face. And you know, as any other kid, I'm trying to figure out, why is my daddy crying? I can count the times I've seen my father cry, and I say, daddy, what's wrong? He says, son, absolutely nothing is wrong. I'm just thinking about how good God has been to me. And I thought, wait a minute now, you only cry about sad things, but if you're talking about how good God has been to you, why are you crying? Now that I have grown up, now that I have lived a little bit, I know why daddy has cried, because sometimes God has been so good, God has been so kind, that there are no words to be able to give. All I can give him is a wave offering. All I can give him is a cheer to say, God, I'm thinking. Doesn't mean everything is perfect, no. Doesn't mean everything has worked out, no. It just means up until now, God has been completely faithful to me. When's the last time you recall the attributes of God? When was the last time you recall the character of God? I'm so mindful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's important, saints of God, that we prepare ourselves for worship before we get to worship. As a little boy, church has been my thing. I'm a church baby all the way from the womb all the way up to now. I get my clothes out the night before because I'm ready. I'm anticipating. I'm just a little kid. I've been doing it all my life. But it's more than just getting my clothes ready. I got to get my attitude right as I'm preparing myself, elder, for worship. Because the week may not have flowed the way that I wanted it to flow. Oh, don't y'all leave me out here by myself. Things that I was hoping for did not go the route that I thought that it would go, Brother Clark. And if I don't fix that before I get to worship, I will bring all of that into the space of worship and attempt to give it to God as worship. If I don't prepare my mind and my heart for worship, I will allow the cares of the world, what has not happened yet, coach, what still needs to happen, to impact the moment of worship when I come with everybody else. Sometimes we have to give God a sacrifice of praise. Because here's what I've realized. That God is not, he's not weary of my humanity. He's not tired of my humanity. He understands the entire makeup of who I am and what I will be and what I'm not. And he appreciates the fact when I'm able to be honest and real and raw with him. But he also desires that in those moments where I really don't want to lift my hands, he understands that even in those moments where I really don't want to stand up to my feet, he understands that in those moments where I really don't want to open up my mouth and say absolutely nothing, that Sister Annette, I've learned that when I don't feel like lifting my hands, when I don't feel like standing to my feet, when I don't feel like joining in on the song, when I don't feel like being here, that I have to give God a sacrifice of praise. And that when I give him a sacrifice of praise, he may not change my situation or the outcome, but in the midst of my sacrifice, he begins to change me. He begins to change my heart. He begins to change my motives and my intentions and my perspective on how I see certain things. So I'm going to give you a few seconds just to give God a sacrifice of praise. I know you really don't want to. I know you really don't feel like it. I know the week may not have been the way that you thought it should be. I know things are not lined up the way that you thought that it would line up. I know that you have a right to be upset. I know you have a right to be mad. I know you may be grieving. I know that you may be down. But if you can give him a sacrifice of praise and surrender your thoughts and surrender your mind and surrender your heart and say, here I am, Lord, a living sanctuary. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, lift your voice. Don't wait for your neighbor. Your neighbor may not be doing anything, but this thing is personal. This is between you and God. God, I give you my heart, Lord. God, I give you my mind, God. God, I give you my relationship, God. God, I give you my children. God, I give you somebody that's getting ready to graduate next week should be praising God. You didn't know how you were going to make it. You didn't know how it was going to get done, but look at God. Give him a sacrifice of praise. He says, make an exchange with me. I give you the garment of praise for your weariness. I give you the garment of praise for your overwhelming anxiety heart. Come on. Come on. We got to build up our endurance. Come on. We got to build up our stamina. There is no praise scene right now. There is no musician right now. Open up your mouth. Your mouth, your words is an orchestra to heaven. The sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it. I don't want to, but I'm going to do it. I got an attitude, but I'm going to do it. I feel like I should not do it, but I'm the sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of praise. Because don't forget, praise is your weapon. Praise is your weapon. Praise is your weapon. That's why we can't afford to be quiet. Praise is your weapon. That's why we don't have a right to remain silent. Praise is your weapon. Praise is your weapon. Come on here. Praise is your weapon. Worship is your weapon. When you sound the alarm, something happens in the spirit realm. Praise is your weapon. Worship is your weapon. We worship you, oh God. We worship you, oh God. We glorify you. We magnify you. We give you glory. We give you honor, oh God. Nobody like you, Father. Nobody like you. 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 Sacrifice of praise.